Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and they ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they didn't have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds, however, fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right. I am excited today, and not just because I'm standing down here a little bit closer, but I'm excited because, have you noticed our new green pyramids up here? Fancy schmancy, it only takes a year and a half to finally get them here and up. And it's appropriate that we put them up today, especially thinking about the liturgical season that we are in. Because here in this liturgical season, we are surrounded by green all around us. And this is the time of the year where we focus on growth and learning and discovery. And today, specifically, we are talking about the growth of seeds in different soil types. Now, to engage this gospel story a little bit more fully, I've given you this handout, so hopefully you found it in your bulletin. And we're going to explore together how this story might relate to our lives, both individually and communally. But before we begin that, we need to remember the context in which this parable was told. Now, if you think about the whole entire arc of the book of Matthew, we're about halfway through Matthew's gospel at this point. So far, Jesus has announced God's reign that will turn everything upside down and transform others to love. Now, Jesus then goes out into the world, and it's not just something he says, but these are words that are active, and so he goes out and transforms people's lives through healing and liberation. From there, after Jesus announces what he's going to do, and then he actually does what he says he's going to do, then he sends the disciples out to do the exact same thing. And so that brings us to today's story, where the disciples have come back to Jesus, and Jesus is beginning to tell them a story. A story that interprets how people receive the good news. You see, not everyone wants to confront evil and recognize the value of all people in the world. And so even when they do want to accept that, when they accept the words of it, they don't often want to put it into practice by changing how they live to align with those same values. Remember, Jesus preached the word, and then he enacted the word. And so sometimes we accept the word, the good news, but we don't enact it. And so with this in mind, Jesus tells today's parable. All right, so let's pull out the sheet that you've got there. Hopefully you've got pens in front of you. So you can see that we've got across the top there, we've got a bunch of columns, A, B, C, D, E, and then rows, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm hoping that'll help you narrow it in if I need to point something out. And the other thing that you'll probably need is the celebrate insert, that green one. That has the Matthew gospel from it, if you're having trouble. And we're going to kind of do some of this together. This is one of those teaching sermons I sometimes like to do. So if you hate this type of sermon, then it's only one Sunday, and maybe next week will be better. I don't know yet. We'll have to see where the Holy Spirit leads next week. All right, so first, column A, where did the seeds fall? Where was the first place the seeds fell? The path. So the path, they fall on the path, which is Matthew 13:4, right? So that's our first column there. I'm going to turn off this fan so I can hear a little better. All right, so the path. What happens to the seeds when they fall on the path? So A1 is path. B1, what happened when those seeds fell on the path? The birds came down, and they ate them up. All right, so the birds came and ate them up. So C1, describe the characteristics of that soil. So what can we infer from the story about the characteristics of that soil? Or maybe looking ahead to what Jesus did to describe the soil, what is that character of the soil look like? Shallow, I heard another word too. Started with an H. Hard. It was hard soil, right? If the soil's not soft, then you can't put the seed inside of it, right? So it's not going to actually plant. So the characteristic of that first soil is that it's hard. The seed could not get into the soil to grow. All right, so now these are the two harder columns, D and E. D, what does that soil look like individually? So if we were to put this into our own context in our individual lives, what might that look like? Or maybe in verse 19, what does Jesus say he looks like? And by the way, I'll share with you, we read two different chunks, and there's a whole part that happens in Matthew in between. This second chunk of Jesus' description is added later in the book of Matthew. It's not original. The story is original. The description is added later. So this is what people of faith started thinking about how they would describe this story. So what might this look like individually for us? What's that hard soil in our life? What's that? It's cracked, hard, dry. Other ideas? Closed-minded, yeah. So in verse 19, Jesus says misunderstanding, right? It's this whole idea of not being open to transformation. Not being open, closed-minded, not listening to others. So what might that look like for us communally? 1E. This is probably the hardest column of them all. What's that? Racism. Yeah, not being open to groups of people who are different than you are. Yeah, leaving those who need help kind of exposed in the world. And so that's kind of what I kind of came up with in this column as well, right? When we're not able to listen to each other's experiences relating to racism and across all sorts of different things. Like when we devalue the experiences of marginalized, saying that people of color's experience with police is inaccurate. We've seen that recently. Or how about when we delegitimize women by paying them lower wages for the same exact work? Or how about when we don't work to understand the stories of immigrants and refugees and elderly and those impacted by climate change or other marginalized groups? Those are the moments when we have that hard kind of feeling, when that good news lands on our soil, and we're heartened. Does that make sense what we're doing here? Cool. All right. So, 2A. Where's the second place that the seeds fall? Rocky ground. So 2A, rocky ground. What happens when those seeds fall on the rocky ground? 2B. To be or not to be? They spring up really fast, but then what happens? The sun comes up, and because they don't have any roots, they are scorched. So they die in the sun. So whoop, they come up quick, and they're scorched. All right, so what are the characteristics of the soil? So in comparison with the first line, is this soil hard still? It has hard spots, but it's soft enough that the seed can get in, right? So the seed got in because it was able to spring up, but it's not very deep, right? So although it's softer soil and the seed could get in, it has no depth to sustain it, right? Verse 5 talks about not having enough depth. So it's soft, but no depth. So what does this look like in our lives? D? Yeah, can you say more about that? Yeah. So sometimes we just have like this burst of energy. We're excited about something. We're passionate about something for good reason. But then ultimately that passion doesn't continue. It kind of fades off. So we've got a good idea. Have you ever been in meetings like this? Where somebody throws out a great idea and then like it doesn't stick? Or how about church life, right? As a congregation, we can maybe think about how we here as a congregation have said that we want to be welcoming to LGBTQ individuals, to immigrants, to refugees, to asylum seekers. But the question really is that just a passive statement, or is it true commitment to growth and transformation of those seeds? Is it something long-term or just a short burst of excitement? Or how about when we think about this country, right? We shoot off fireworks on the 4th of July saying that this is the land of the free, but do we really work for freedom worldwide? These are those moments when we have this burst of excitement around an idea, but do we really keep it going and live it out? So that's both our individual and communal. Did you see? I kind of just all put together. Are we following okay? Just a shake, nod. Okay. Cool. So we are moving right along, halfway through. Number 3, where does the seed fall? After it's the path, then it's on the rocky soil, then among the thorns, Matthew 13:7. What happens with the seed? So the seeds are kind of choked out the plant, right? It can't grow because the thorns are choking it out. So that's column 2. Thorns choke out the plant. Column 3. So what is this soil like? Is it hard or soft? Soft. So it's a still softer soil, right? Because it clearly the thorns were able to survive, right? So something was able to grow. So seeds could get in. But and there was enough depth, right? Because the thorns are growing. So like we had with the rocky soil, now there's enough depth for something to grow. But what's the problem with this soil? It's occupied, right? There's not enough space for the seeds to grow. So it is soft, and it does have depth, but it's got no space for it to actually flourish. What does this look like in our lives? You are doing great. I'm going to see if I can pull out some other people, and I'm going to come back to you for 4. Who else do we got? Yeah, so we prioritize things, we make other things important, right? We allow things that shouldn't be all that important to take precedence over the things that are really important, right? So in this soil, this kind of moment in our life, we're open to possibility, we find excitement about something, and we do have the ability to sustain it, but we spend our time and our resources on less important things. All right. So what might that look like in a communal setting? So either in our congregation or somewhere else in our globe, in our community. hardest row of them all. Do you have anything? Yeah, so there's still something restricting the way that you're thinking. So as you're talking about that, I didn't think about that ahead of time. That's a great one. I'm thinking about the ways that maybe we grow up in a specific context. And so the education that we have and the context that we grew up in gives us a lens for how we understand the world. Is that kind of what you're getting at with that? Yeah. That's a really, really great example. So a few of the ones that I thought about is I thought in our congregational setting, I was thinking about how when we say that love and transformation are key values of this congregation, but then when the giving campaign comes around, do we really support financially what's going on here? Or instead, do we spend it on trips and concerts or unnecessary home improvements? Or what about our free time? Let's take it away from money, although Jesus talks about money pretty much more than anything else. But let's talk about our time and how we use our time. Instead of giving thanks for what we've received by maybe volunteering or maybe writing our elected officials about issues that are important to us, do we spend more of our free time actually hiking or beaching or couch surfing? Does it turn into being more about what we can get instead of how we can serve in gratitude? That is the seeds falling among the thorns. Is that making sense? Yep. All right. Number four. What soil is this? The good soil. Maybe if you've heard sermons before on this, the preacher goes on and on about how you should be good soil, or those of us here, right? It turns into this like kind of a puritanical sermon where it's like, all of us are the good soil because we are here, and all of those people out there, they are like the rocky soil. We're not going there today. But what happens in the good soil? It grows, and not only does it grow, but it grows abundantly, and then what does it do? In its abundance, it produces more seeds that can go out and grow and grow and grow, right? So, that's column two, grew in abundance, produces more seeds. Column three, what can we infer about the soil then? Is it hard or soft? Soft, it got in. Was there enough depth, or was it too shallow? Had enough depth, right? Was there enough space? Yes, there was enough space for it. There's plenty of space for it to grow. And so it had enough space, it had enough nourishment, and it was soft enough to get in. So what does that look like in our lives? What's the good soil in our lives? Yeah. So the moments when we're open-minded, when we're compassionate, those moments when we're open to transformation, but not only when we're open to transformation, but also when we're deeply committed, right? And when we get our priorities in line in such a way that we respond to what's important. And then not only do we live in God's abundance, but we also inspire other people to live in that transformation and abundance. Is that making sense for this one? So what does that look like in our world or here in this congregation? Yeah, so maybe when we go to work or when we're in the community and how we're loving one another, which is kind of in tension maybe with how the world prioritizes things. If the priority is money and wealth and power and success, if we live in the world and we say being a servant and loving one another and giving back to the community from which we've received so much and being open to understanding the world in different ways, that's the good soil. And I think about here in our congregation when in 2006 we became a Reconciling in Christ congregation, and we said that we welcome all people, no matter their sexual orientation and gender identity. And this statement in 2006, well before I was here, required an openness for transformation. And then there was an opportunity in 2013 for providing more nourishment and space in that garden. to live out that principle by calling me as an openly gay pastor. And so then, the good soil had begun to produce its own seeds far before I got here, right? We had nurtured that, we had made commitment, we had lived into it, and now it's producing something more. And then it continues to produce when we start discerning and voting to become an immigrant welcoming congregation. And it continues to produce when we share this building with the community groups, which up to this point in this year we've given over 1,500 hours of space use to community groups thus far. These are the seeds that continue to be spread and continue to welcome. One action in good soil continues to flow and give. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So, we've made it through kind of trying to understand the story. Who's had a chance to think about the story in this way before? Okay, so maybe you haven't parsed it down all the way. So one of the things that I've kind of been intrigued about, so you'll see there's two more questions down there that we're going to explore. The first one that I kind of started thinking about is, why in the world does the sower only why doesn't the sower only focus on spreading the seeds on the good soil? Why waste his time? Why spread it on the rocky soil? Why spread it on the path? Why spread it on the thorny thing? Thorny soil. Doesn't seem like good use of precious seeds, right? Is there value in engaging and sharing love and time in these locations? Any thoughts on that?
When I read the question, I thought, well, everyone is saved by grace, so everyone gets seeds, right?
Yeah. So it tells us a little bit of something about our God, right? This abundance that even in those places where it seems like God shouldn't be spending God's time, that's maybe where we actually find God's presence and grace in that moment. What else? Any other thoughts on that? Nora? You need the context of the others to appreciate the good soil. So if we don't actually look at the hard path and we don't look at the rocky soil and the thorns, then we don't actually come to appreciate the good soil that's there. That's a good one. Anyone else want to jump in here before you get my thoughts on it? Because that's how this game usually goes, right? Well, I started thinking about the hard soil and the birds. What do we know about birds and how they interact with seeds? They eat them, and then what do? There we go. They fly away, and they poop them out somewhere else, right? Birds are really important for seeds to get them spread out far away. And then in their poop, they've got fertilizer, boom, right there. So are the birds all that bad after all? Maybe in those moments where we're spreading grace in the world or God is spreading grace, we might not see it in this time and in this place, but maybe, just maybe, there's someplace else that is having the abundant harvest. Or how about that seed that died quickly? Is there anything good in that? Sprout it up. I know I am the worst gardener in the world, and there is so much joy when I see something break through the surface and I say, wow, it's living. And then even if it dies, I say, wow, I've got awe for that short time. I'm inspired to try to make it better the next time. So is there something inspirational and awe-inspiring about that thing that pops up very quickly? Or how about the thorny soil? Could it be, like Nora said, that the thorny soil is a cautionary tale so that we might realize in those moments when we're not feeling fully alive that we need to tweak what we're doing? We need to change how we're interacting with the world. We need to reprioritize. So maybe, just maybe, there is unseen value in spreading the good news of love and justice and peace even on those inhospitable soils. All right, our last quick question. Does that make sense? I should ask that first. Does that make sense? Which I need to give Michelle Voss Roberts kind of props for coming up. She came up with most of that in one of her commentaries. And I don't know that I've ever heard this story interpreted in a way of saying that the bad soil, right, the bad versus the good, the three bad ones versus the good one, actually have some kind of inspirational property, and that grace that flows through can actually be found in all three places. So anyway, with that, the last question. What can you take from this story today and apply it to your life, the world, and or your understanding of God? Anybody want to share that one? Yeah. Yeah. Did everyone hear what he said? So I'm going to paraphrase and correct me if I'm wrong. But in those moments, we can think about how different people are different types of soil. And so sometimes we're spreading. So this is kind of putting us in the seat of the sower, right? We're spreading our good, we're being nice to other people. We're loving one another. We're spreading. We're being gracious. And although it falls on different soils and people receive it in different ways and respond in different ways, there's still that potential for the unseen effects in the future with the different types of soil. Did I get that right? And so what, go ahead.
I was just saying that, thinking that it's hard to get to the good soil. It's not going to work every time, and it's a matter of continuing to drive for that, and being okay with it falling on the other side, because maybe there's some good soil.
Yeah, so it's hard to get to the good soil, right? And I think, that leads me to the kind of the point that I was going to talk about, which is, I think so often, and there's nothing wrong with it, but we want to think of ourselves as the sower. But what if we actually think about ourselves as the soil, and that we're not only one type of soil, but we're a different type of soil in different situations and in different points of our lives? So sometimes that we ourselves, we are kind of hardened to God's love or something new because of misunderstanding. Or how about sometimes those moments where we get really excited about something, but then we let it fade away and we forget about it. Or those other times when we miss the important priorities in our lives and we need to call ourselves back and adjust. Or how about those wonderful moments when we finally get to the good soil, when we're finally feeling like in that moment we're the good soil and we're producing and inspiring future growth? That is the wonderful thing about this story, is that if we take on the view of us being all those different types of soil, is that our God, she continues to sow in our lives regardless of where we are at that moment. She continues to sow love and justice and peace, even when we're heartened, even when we're flighty, even when we embrace misaligned priorities. And sure, the good news might not take root at this moment in our lives or in the lives of someone else, but maybe, just maybe, as God continues to take and sow and sow and sow in our lives, maybe the transformation will be planted now and will bloom in the future. Passion for justice might flare again in us. Maybe God will show us the need for change when our own selfish desires compete with loving others. And then when we finally feel like we are that good soil in a moment, where that seed that was planted in us blooms, we rejoice in the awe of that. There, in that good soil, we understand God's Spirit just a little bit more. There, in that good soil, the seeds that were planted of love begin to take on a new creation. There, we stand among God's awe. So today, my prayer for you as we go forth from this place and as we continue on with our liturgy is that we might be like God, that we might go into the world and sow that transformation in every place, knowing that our work is not in vain, even if we don't see it at this specific moment. Amen.